SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're now listening to the best 2 hours in sports radio.
How are the two best hosts on Grid Radio?
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
Mustache, glasses, and a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know what? I just keep moving.
But here.
Kevin Walsh.
No, it's not a bad take. You're in outer space
North. And the dream team of callers.
Right. I hope you guys checked the tape right. That was the 5-0 Vegas.
Bring it.
Astros, Rangers, Astros over.
Smoke.
Check
all
the
smoke.
Tape.
Yep. Easy, too. It's easy. It feels good.
It was, wasn't it? Man.
I listen to you guys also with all that great information you gave out on players' props. So it's going to be a fun night tonight.
I just honestly became a huge Sports Grid fan and over the last year, and I found you in K-Dub show, man, and I have been addicted.
And let me give a shout-out to my man, JP, holding it down behind the scenes.
There it is.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159.
How about this? Moneyline? Live? With yours truly, Kevin Walsh, right here. DRS, Donnie Wrightside, will sort a couple of things out and be right here in the mix as well. It is delightful to be back here on the saddle on Moneyline. We have tons and tons to get into. The Anthony Richardson news dropping is massive, as we now have all three of the first round quarterbacks slated to be week one starters, and what that means for their teams and what that means for week one, and what that means for the offensive rookie of the year market, which I think is shaping up to be one of the best award races this season in the National Football League. We'll get into that. We'll also, of course, get into all the doings in the Major League Baseball landscape here, because we've got two games on for this show, the Mets and the Pirates, and then as well, we get the Twins and the Tigers. And I know that Donnie is the king of the RBI. That's how I certainly see it. A market that he has done tremendous work in. I know that he has put a lot of you on to, and me as well. In fact, I actually was, you know, kind of betting RBIs as a part of my little vacation, because they really are fun. And if you are a longtime listener of myself and Donnie, you know, going back even to, of course, the in-play sport tonight days, you know that we like to be able to have fun, enjoy ourselves when we're wagering. The thing is, the RBI props, if you're doing it right, it's not just fun, it's also profitable. But it's that 2+ RBI market that is it, that introduces big payouts, right? I don't think I've seen anyone for 2+ RBIs lower than plus 350. Now, I'm not necessarily telling that I've looked at every single team every single day, because going through the Donnie approach, that's less of a... It's not, ooh, this guy's plus 350, let's bet him. Ooh, this guy's 5-1, let's bet him, right? You start with the numbers, the matchups for Donnie, the ISO power numbers. And you get involved through that lens, and then you find out what your prices are accordingly for 2+ RBIs. But, man, the ability to bring in a 6-1 ticket, which you got to think about that in terms of money lines. That is a massive underdog that you are able to cash. If you think about Major League Baseball, there's no such thing as a 6-1. It doesn't exist. What's the biggest baseball favorite on a given slate? Maybe a minus 400 pops twice a season. And again, that's gonna, you know, you're gonna get a plot, you know, 3-1, right, roughly. So the fact that you're doubling that type of payout with 2+ RBIs, and you can do it on a nightly basis. And there are guys that are higher. Certainly there are guys that are lower than 6-1. But I was almost involved with this Twins-Tigers game here. My process is different than Donnie's. Donnie's better than I am with those numbers. I'm still trying to figure out and if betting 1+ RBI is worth it. Because what I've been doing in my little RBI prop fund and on a, really, again, it's a pretty regular basis, is I look for a lineup that is going up against the pitcher that has a negative home road split and then is obviously pitching in that location. So for Kenta Maeda, he's actually got an awful home ERA. It's above a 5. And then I want good hitter-pitcher career statistics. And actually, there's a number of guys in this Tigers lineup that have had a good career lifetime. Some small sample sizes. And sometimes I have been willing to push the boundaries on a small sample size because not everybody has seen an opponent 20, 30 times, right? We know that's not the case. So I almost came in today here with 4 guys because I take 4 guys from a lineup. That's what I'm looking for. Detroit Tigers against Kenta Maeda. I pulled back because Maeda's ERA is above a 5, largely due to one awful early season start against the Yankees, where he at home in 3 innings gave up 10 earned runs. The home ERA is a 2.51 if you remove those 3 innings against the Yankees. That happened, but it doesn't mean that it means he's not been consistently beat up at home. It means he had one awful start at home, and he's not had a lot of starts at home, Kenta Maeda, as well. So it really inflates that number, but I want to keep an eye on that game. And there's actually a lot of I kind of made a little short list the other night of guys that I think could really jump off the page. And one guy that made the list for me is a guy that Donnie is targeting in his same game parlay, which is Noah Syndergaard. So we'll get into that. But up next here on Moneyline, we have to talk about Anthony Richardson, the Indianapolis Colts, and what to expect from the rookie quarterback out of Florida.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in to Moneyline. We're live right here on Sports Grid Radio, taking you up until 3 p.m. Eastern here. If you would like for the people to hear you, hear your thoughts, what do you like on today's slate, you call us here. You know the number, 844-843-6879. Hit us up here. I know DRS as well always has that hashtag SG Moneyline rock and rolling, so send your tweets in as well. Another great way to get in touch with us if you can't hit the phone lines, which again, 844-843-6879. Let's talk Anthony Richardson, shall we? So, one thing that is really fascinating is we have 3 round one quarterbacks. And it's more appropriate to say we have 3 top 5 quarterbacks, right? 1, 2, and 4. 1 Bryce Young to the Carolina Panthers, 2 CJ Stroud to the Houston Texans, and 4 Anthony Richardson to the Indianapolis Colts. And look, these are obviously, those are high draft picks, and with that type of draft status comes high expectations. But it has also, I found, become very common to not start your guy right away. And what almost feels like a certainty in these situations, even if you're not going to start, or if you want to start your guy right away, these teams have loved to make it seem like they don't plan on starting them right away. Or these players will be in deep, deep battles for a very long time until they're actually going to be given the job. Well, Bryce Young seemingly had his job, I mean, before training camp. Like, Frank Reich has never once really messed around about the fact that Bryce Young was going to be the starter in Carolina. And that was a little jarring to me. I like it. I'm a huge Bryce Young believer. I think he should be their week one starting quarterback. I'm in on Bryce Young. So I have no problem with that. Then we've heard it in Houston, it's probably going to be C.J. Stroud. And again, it makes sense, right? Who's moving heaven and earth to keep Davis Mills in as the starter? Davis Mills has been
passable for Houston in terms of everyone's thought they were going to lose all of their games. Davis Mills loses all the time. But we don't look at Davis Mills with this evil eye. It is what it is. But if they would have started Davis Mills week one, week two, would you have been shocked? Would you have been up in arms? I mean, some people would have said this is ridiculous, but if they would have made C.J. Stroud earn it a little bit more, that wouldn't have been jarring. But instead, C.J. Stroud starts the preseason game, and we expect C.J. to get the ball. But the Anthony Richardson one is surprising. And the Anthony Richardson one surprised Anthony Richardson. Because the backup quarterback, we know, Gardner Minshew, right? If you all right now had a list down 32 QB2s on every single team depth chart, right? You wouldn't be able to get all of them. But you'd be able to get Gardner Minshew in Indianapolis. Because he came over with Shane Steichen from Philadelphia to be that guiding hand to make it a soft launch for Anthony Richardson. That was my expectation. And Gardner Minshew is still a guy, depending who you are, and certainly if you're Gardner Minshew, you're under the impression that this guy might still have some juice to him. This guy still might deserve a chance to be a starter in this league, right? I mean, such a ridiculous thing. Gardner Minshew started against the New York Jets and kind of flips it and turns around. And this was not the Jets of last year, the Jets of 2 years ago. It was the absolute dead last worst passing defense in football. Gardner lit him up because Jalen Hurts was out a week with an injury. And Gardner goes and tries and talk to, you know, Nick Sirianni. Hey, what do I do to become the starting quarterback? I mean, so this is a guy in Gardner Minshew that fully thinks he deserves to be QB1. And he's lost this job immediately to Anthony Richardson. Immediately he's lost it to Anthony Richardson. It's jarring. It really is. And Donnie likes to say, and I'm sure he'll tell us today, that he thinks a lot of that is on Jim Irsay. But if you look around the league right now, I don't know, starting your rookie quarterback is in vogue. It's what everybody's doing. All three of these rookie quarterbacks are going to get the football in week one. And that's very surprising. And I don't know still to if I believe that starting a quarterback week one or not starting that quarterback until week one of year two like Patrick Mahomes or waiting even longer like the Green Bay Packers did with Aaron Rodgers and are now doing with Jordan Love. I don't know if definitively holding off and waiting with those players is the way to do it, right? This might, like, would Patrick Mahomes not be who he is if he got the football right away? We never talk about that. Ever. And I get it. But Patrick Mahomes, his first year in this league, wasn't the starting quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Joe Burrow, though, came in right away, QB1 for the Cincinnati Bengals. Justin Herbert came in basically right away due to the Tyrod Taylor injury and was QB1 for the Los Angeles Chargers. Lamar Jackson had packages and then eventually took over for Joe Flacco. Dak Prescott came in right away, immediately QB1. Jalen Hurts had to battle it out and eventually took the job off of a struggling Carson Wentz. So it's not a definitive thing. But I will say the wait and see approach, the sit a year approach, has yielded better results for round one quarterbacks. It does seem to be an effective strategy. It doesn't mean a player can't be great year one or be on their way to being great in year number one. But I am surprised the Colts didn't want to give Anthony Richardson, a guy, by the way, who has tied Mitchell Trubisky's record for fewest career collegiate starts to be a round one quarterback. Not ideal to be tying records with Mitchell Trubisky. 13 career collegiate starts for Anthony Richardson. And now his 14th start is going to come right now in week number one against division favorite Jacksonville. We got robbed of the Gardner Minshew revenge game. It's very surprising that they rushed Richardson out there. But But we now have are starting to get everywhere full season long Anthony Richardson props. And one of so Ezekiel Elliott has a rushing yards prop of 375.5, which is obviously very low. But Zeke is largely viewed as washed, clearly not the lead running back on the depth chart. And look, it's very low, but I kind of get it, right? Anthony Richardson has a passing yards prop of 2,700.5. In order for Anthony Richardson to clear that number, he needs to throw 158.9 yards per game. Per game. A starting quarterback. That's over 17 weeks. Now, if you're going to tell me Anthony Richardson isn't going to play 17 weeks because you're worried about injury, I'll listen to you. Because I guess we should always worry about injury. But Anthony Richardson should never be benched by the Indianapolis Colts. And that's why it's always sometimes I do think there is some risk involved with giving your guy the football if you don't, if you're not expecting to be good, if you are, if you should have patience. Because you can't week four be like, ooh, this is not working. This is not working. We are 0-4. We have to get the ball to Gardner. You have to ride this out if you're the Indianapolis Colts. But here's the thing with that number. If you divide that number, folks, by 12, it's 225 yards a game. We can't trust starting quarterbacks to throw for 225 yards anymore? Interesting times. We'll talk more about this and update you on the baseball board. You are listening to Moneyline live on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the air, and it feels good. Oh, yeah. All right. Coming clear. Clear signals over here. Yes, it is. Moneyline, hour number one. Donnie Wrightside.
And Kevin Walsh.
All right, K-Dub, let's get popping. Let's do it. We're back. Feels good.
You are so out of your mind, dude.
Oh,
I mean, what's the deal? You got 2 hours with me this morning, then you had to skip town. You couldn't.
Yeah.
You had to chop 20 minutes off. What's the deal here?
I mean, sabotage from the back end. I mean, we've been having rocking and rolling 8 straight days. Solo, Kev calls in, radio, just the lines go down right away. People even said, I mean, from what I hear is the back office was so excited that they were trying to cram in, and it's just too many people on the line at once. Just couldn't handle the energy. That's all it was. So,
yeah, I mean,
here we are.
People were excited, man. But we're back. We're in the mix. I told people
we're back, man.
Phone number is SG Moneyline live. What's
it's,
the story?
It's live. It's I mean, look.
Let me talk to you.
Let's get it rocking and rolling here. By the way, people have been using the hashtag SG Moneyline line to get through, trying to build it up for us, K Dub, like a little community. Like when I have my tweet deck up, there's a separate page just for SG Moneyline. So when they came up during the week, just read them off. You got a hot play, let it rip. Give us a phone call 844-843-6879. It's the way it is and the way it always will be here. And we do have two afternoon Major League Baseball games on. By the way, I am invested. Pittsburgh Pirates over 4.5, I believe it was a +140. Hold on, I got it right up here. See, I could check my handy dandy Twitter machine here. +114 on the Pirates, so we need 5 runs today. Also, K-Dub took a few RBI props. Rivas, +240. Reynolds, +175. We'll let that play out here. Bottom of the first inning. Nobody has scored just yet, but I am involved here, and I expect to be involved in a lot of games tonight, including Noah Syndergaard. Oh, our good friend here.
Yeah, I mentioned that to the people. My RBI process, Donnie,
yes.
is that I actually have one, which is fun. I miss kind of having a baseball process, but my K-prop stuff got ruined. I've not done a single K-prop all year long, and it does break my heart. But
K-master.
I know.
K-master.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
As many have said over the years. But so for me, DRS, like, I'm always just trying to attack the starting kind of point, our home road splits. In all sports, I am a believer in home road splits. And then I try and see if I can get 4 guys with good batter pitcher history. And I bet 4 guys in a lineup. And I bet everybody for one plus, and I bet everybody for two plus.
Oh, I like that.
I have not figured out yet.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Is if betting the one plus is even worth it.
To be honest with you, I don't think it is.
Yeah.
But it's one of those where you might get hot for a night. And I mean, hot meaning three out of your seven guys get the number two spot, which means plus 650, plus 850, plus 1100. Those are fun. I've done that a couple times. Mixed results. But I got to tell, like yesterday, I ran it up a little bit. And I'll tell you what saved me yesterday. A couple of the two RBI props. Like, I had one guy yesterday got an RBI and two. It was plus 600, which basically, like, replenishes, like, five losses for you right off the bat.
Yeah.
So, to be honest with you, I don't think it's worth it, but it seems so much fun. And also, how many times, like, have I had just a single RBI? And you're not going to get upset by going, hey, look, I just cashed a plus 205. That's fantastic. I'll take that. And then you go to check the numbers, like, oh, my goodness. He was plus 950, like a two-run home run in the second inning, and you're already through with a 950 ticket. Now, here's the thing that you're really wanting to know. Is it worth it to just level up both times, like one RBI and two RBI? Is it worth it maybe just to go two RBI and not on the one RBI? Because I like the double shot. Hey, double, like that was Sunday, right? Or was it Sunday? I believe it was. Mookie Betts double in the gap, scores two runs. I had him for one and two. I was like, man, what a great update. Do you know what I mean? But
right.
Long term, Kevin, I don't think it's worth it, but I think you can get hot on a streak and be like, wow, this is really paying bills.
So for me and my current, and I should probably just sit down and do the math on it, DRS. If I go... So if you think about it, I have eight bets then, right? When I line up my team, which is kind of a lot, right?
You're just doing
$25 shots.
Yes.
And I get one guy to give me two plus RBIs. I'm going to go 2-6 on that night. The two plus, all of that will be covered, right?
Correct.
But the one plus won't. You have to go 500 on the one plus for it to be worth it. And look, it comes and goes. But the thing is, having a night where you go and get three guys for one plus, but nobody gets two plus, that's not going to cover it, even then, being and five. So that's why I can't pull myself to do it yet, where I don't bet any one plus, Donnie. But it might just be a thing where I need to only bet guys for two plus. Because as you've said, and look, it's happened to me. But I had one day, Donnie, I had three home runs, all solo shots. I'm like, hold on a minute now. Like, this has got to be some type of prank, right? It happens. But the key to everything is the two plus RBIs. Like, that's obviously where you really start to change the things. But I will tell you, DRS, when you can get it, and if you really attack that lineup and you can get four guys in it. I had an Astros team one night go 4-for-4 on the one plus and two guys give me two plus. I mean, it was a party like nobody's business.
Yes, like because Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening, you're right about it. And we're not talking from being like a millionaire status, right? But I'll usually put a couple $100 in play every single day because it's a numbers game and it's poker, right? I'm saying to myself, okay, if I put seven RBI props out there, I'm probably not going 0-7. I'm probably not also going 7-0. I'll land somewhere in the middle because the goal is, hey, if I lay out $250 and I won $50 and get $300 back, like, boom, great day. Let's move it and keep rolling it forward. Like Sunday, I think I was like 3-4, including RBI props at one plus. Like I hit an 11-1, a 9-1, and a 750. I'm like, good, like what a day. And also had them all singles as well. So it was an unbelievable day, but you will get a mixed bag. But again, to your point, if you pick four guys out in one lineup that you figure like today against Syndergaard, Ivan's the worst pitcher in the lineup with the Reds. You pick three guys out and just double down for double RBIs, even the hottest player on the team to get two is still like 5-1. You see what I like? One of them you're in, two of them it's amazing. But I find myself right now I'm in fun mode with this. I don't know if it technically makes a lot of sense long term. But again, as I said, you can go on a streak where you go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Whoa!
Yeah.
I went 2-4 every night on two RBIs. Like I just stacked up like $600 by betting $25 wagers.
I'm gonna do the math on my RBI stuff and I'll kind of report back. Like every single time I've done it, Donnie, I've bet all of the 2+ and all of the 1+. And look, there are tough nights there because you go 0-8 and it's like, oh boy, I just went out. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But
yes.
0-4 doesn't feel as bad. It really, you know what I'm saying? It really doesn't if that's how it's going to spin around. I will say, because I've texted you about it, and I'm texting you because I'm like, oh my goodness, like these are the things that you're experiencing on a nightly basis. Like the Nationals the other day, 8 runs scored, mm-hmm. no RBIs came in. I was like, I don't understand what's going on. And then yesterday, Tim Anderson gets scratched. His replacement, Elvis Andrews, gets the 2+ RBIs. Tim Anderson's 8-1, Donnie, for 2+. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that Anderson would have, you know, he came up in the same spot and everything like that. But it mm-hmm. was frustrating to see. But again, if I would have been fortunate enough for Anderson to be in the lineup and hit that same double that Elvis Andrews did, that's $200. It's an 8-1 ticket. Where else am I getting 8-1 tickets where I really feel like I have a genuine chance like that?
No, it's and again, when you're looking at RBI props, like the home run is the one you're looking for, right? So therefore, okay, bases loaded, whatever it would be. But when you talk about the bad beats, again, I don't like to watch the games I have wagers on. I tell you all the time, I set my phone, it buzzes my wrist. Like I had one yesterday, Josh Bell, base hit, runner score, whatever it was. Josh Hill gets first base, Josh Bell, excuse me. But he actually got the first base on an error. Guy scores, I didn't get the run. Sunday afternoon, I had Ahmad Rosario. It's like, this is my favorite one of the day. He's batting fourth in the lineup for the Dodgers. Plus 205 price to get an RBI. So I took him to get an RBI, and it was like 10-1 for him to get two. Early on, or I would say maybe sixth inning. Hits a rocket out the right field base hit. Bobble by Cole Tucker. Run scores, they take it away from him. Like those, because you get the updates, right? You're like, yes! That's look, plus 205. Now he's got one. He's got a chance to get another. They ended up getting no RBI in the game. And Mookie Betts, thank goodness, got the one and the two. But those are defeating and deflating ones. It's like if I'm taking a team total in football and I'm like out walking the dog. Oh, yeah, Georgia Tech just scored a touchdown. But then they really didn't because they called it back. It's like, wait a second. You know, that hurts. But you're right. 6, 7, 8, 9 runs. I've had times, Kevin, with the Atlanta Braves. Matt Olson. Like, intentionally walked 3 times. Everybody's an RBI about him because they don't let him hit. It's like, come on now. Yeah, we all been there.
Yeah, that... Man, there was one night I was dealing with the Astros again. John Singleton, 5 RBIs. I'm like, hold on a minute now. Like,
back to the dead.
Mm-hmm. Like, I have 4 Houston Astros. They have 10 runs on the board, and I have 1 RBI. Like, I'm going to look. Yeah. I got Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman. Yes. I'm going to go crazy over here. But in a way, Donnie, so this is kind of what I was saying off the top while we were waiting you to jump back in the thing here. Mm-hmm. But, hey, look, we always want to win. But that RBI, it brings back the fun.
It's like so fun.
It's fun. Even like the John Singleton thing. Is it frustrating? Yeah, but it's man, the loss is almost it hits different. It's not the same, man. And I know for me as a better, I value that the full experience with stuff like that.
Correct. And so because I'm starting to dip back into team totals because I'm finding myself like, hey, you know what? Like I'm really fading these pitchers. So there's a lot of games. It's like, hey, man, they scored 11 runs. Yeah, I cashed an RBI. I'm like, why am I not going along with the correlation going, well, if this pitcher stinks, everybody's a legitimate chance to get base hits, and it's just a sort of an add-on. But also the other part is when I hit a team total, like today, plus 114, most of the time it's negative, like it's minus 115, mm-hmm. minus 120, plus 205's in the door. Like, again, you go 1-3, but at a plus 250, like, psh, all right, let's keep it moving here. You go 1-3 on any other bet, it's like, that's the worst day I've ever had. I can't even take it anymore. So there's a lot of fun on RBIs and a lot of excitement here. This is Moneyline. It's the afternoon. It's Kevin and Donnie on a Wednesday. We will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here on a Wednesday afternoon edition of Moneyline. It's Kevin and Donnie, and a lot of stuff going on now, which includes Major League Baseball, as I'm waiting here on some runs to be scored here by the Pittsburgh Pirates, middle of the second inning. They got 2 base knocks here so far. They actually had 2 runners on. We're talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates, and also Rivas, which was up and struck out swinging with a man on second base. Then they grounded into a double play. So they're getting traffic. Miguel's got 2 innings pitched, 43 total pitches. So They haven't cashed in yet, but still a long way to go. We know how that turns out. Tigers and the Twins, that game is 1-0 right now, and that also is in the second inning. But interesting news and notes all over the place, like just to get started, but I think we probably continue to look at like the NFL and the NFL landscape, because it's getting close to go time here. And also, did I see this? Tomorrow night, the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, here's the interesting part. I want to start this out. Preseason football. It's one game I like this weekend, Kevin, betting-wise. Do you know, what do you think, which game? What game would I mean, think would have interest here? Yeah, in a side, on, not a total, on. In a side.
Yeah, hold on. Let's take a look here. All right.
Caught my attention right away because of the landscape of the game. Now, which game would I be talking about?
Yeah, give me two. Let me finish out here. Hold on. Bill Steelers.
As you look through there quickly, Cleveland and Philadelphia, yeah. Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Dorian Thompson, or the kid from, what's his name? Thompson Robinson?
DTR. UCLA. Yeah. DTR.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's going to start for Cleveland against the Philadelphia Eagles. And the reason I brought that up is, oh, no, Deshaun Watson's not good, or this is only the three. The interesting part about that overall is, I mean, are they mailing it in already? And are these practices, which we've been told that are more important, like the Eagles and the Cleveland Browns are going hard, ones versus ones, Tuesday and Wednesday, but yet we still have preseason games? Hold that thought here. Let's get to the phone lines. 844-843-6879. Our guy Chris from Austin calling in here on a Wednesday afternoon. He's ready to go. What's good?
Hey, man. Good afternoon. The dynamic duo is back. The Kevin Walsh. And the incomparable
DRS. Tremendous.
Welcome home. Yep. Hey, man, I'll lead off with this. I want to, because Kev was on that quarterback thing, but in the afternoon baseball, I went over in Detroit, 8.5. I've got the Twins on the money line, over in Pittsburgh, the 8.5, and I like the Rockies at +120.
There you go.
But I called in to talk, Kev was talking about whether to rest or start the quarterback, you know, I mean, not rest, whether to let the quarterback watch or play him. And, you know, he used two quarterbacks, Herbert and Burrow. I think it's unfair to Richardson and Stroud. They're not ready. I mean, they're just not ready. And they certainly didn't play as much as Herbert did, or the kid in Carolina, Bryce Young, or Justin Herbert. These boys played, and he brought up another good point. The quarterbacks that haven't played well, Mitch Trubisky, when they didn't play much, it worked out. And a lot of it's mental, man. A lot of it's mental. And if they get in and they throw a three-interception game and a couple of fumbles, and then the next game they have a couple of fumbles and another interception, you know, a lot of it's mental, man. A lot of what we do in sports and playing sports is mental. It's not so much physical. Of course, that matters. But I don't know, man. Stroud's not ready, and neither is Richardson. And they've got capable backups. Now, of course, they're not into winning, but it's not just the winning or losing of the game. It's not losing a player because they are struggling in the league. I mean, somebody like Jalen Hurts, he played for Alabama. He played at OU. And so they sat him. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know, man, if they should be putting these kids out there that haven't played a lot of college football, and now you want to get them on the field in the NFL and think that they're going to have a reasonable amount of success. And they could bring up Peyton Manning, but we don't look at Richardson and Stroud like they were Peyton Manning. I mean, it's unfair. I don't think it's going to work out. And I was really not unimpressed with Stroud. I just don't know. But that's my take on that, man. I think it would be better for the development if those kids were allowed to watch capable backups with Mills and Minshew, and just get some time under their belt, man. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Go ahead, Kev, because I know you started off on that.
Well, look, to me, I think there is an argument that if you sit a guy for a full year, they're in a better position, right? I mean, it does seem to work more often than not, DRS. In fact, I really struggle to think about who's a guy that sat for a year, got the job year two, and ended up being bad. I'm talking about a round one quarterback, of course, right?
There aren't many, because again, not many teams have the patience to sit those guys for that long. And just to you know, to clear it up, I bring up Herbert, I bring up Burrow, I bring up those guys, Donnie, to mm-hmm. say you can be successful getting the football week one. It's not like every single time a guy is a week one starter for a team, it ends up being a disaster, right? But I don't. The Richardson thing, Donnie, is so surprising. Because Gardner Minshew, like, there's how many backup quarterbacks, right, out of the 32 teams, QB2s, are known by the majority of people? Not many. But one of them is Gardner Minshew. And given Gardner Minshew the chance to go against Jacksonville, Shane Steichen purposely brings him over. Mm-hmm. And then he lost out on that for Anthony Richardson, a guy with as few as collegiate starts as he has. It's very surprising.
No, it is, because, again, like, we try to get into the inner workings of the Colts, which we're not privy to. You bring over Gardner Minshew because he's the perfect guy. He's not going to be a lightning rod, but he does have NFL experience and has played well at times. Your team really isn't going anywhere. So the goal is to not rock the boat. Give me a guy that can make us competitive, but also sort of be the guy in the quarterback room that could say, hey, look, I've been here, done that before. Not just some random guy. Like, how are you going to tell me to be a quarterback when you've been a backup for 7 years, you started one game and threw four passes? Stop. Like, I don't want to hear it from you. At least Minshew's got some tape out there and has played well at times. But I just figured it was the perfect, because Steichen is not a dummy, and most NFL coaches aren't dummies. When you're trying to set up, like, success for the quarterback, and also keep in mind, this isn't the 49ers. Like, Anthony Richardson getting drafted to the 49ers, where he just steps in and says, hey, look, quarterback got injured, we got lucky, we made great moves 2 years ago for draft picks, and somehow we end up with the number two pick when we're really good, and we drafted you here. You're going into a team with no expectations on the season. Do you know what your expectation is for the Colts? Find out if Anthony Richardson can actually play. That's it. And better not, if he plays really well and the rest of the team stinks, that's even better, because you get a high draft pick next year and you know you have your franchise guy. Like, winning games doesn't matter. But the only thing that can hurt the process is, hey, look, I'm sending a guy out there with a team that's not as talented as everybody else. And the worst thing you could do, like Chris was bringing up, is, you know, you do have to play to make mistakes, but at the same time, building those habits that you're comfortable with, if that clock in your head is sped up your rookie year, boy, it's hard to unwind that. It really is. And that's the only thing I look at.
But, DRS, honestly, like, I'm not saying... You really think that Jim Irsay, like, is the one who made this decision on his own?
Yes. Like, yes. I think it's always been that way, though, in Indianapolis, which we've seen it front and center. Because Frank Reich, look, sometimes you have to play a good corporate entity as a coach. Like, look, I'm going to take the heat from it. Like Howie Roseman is a great GM. Why? Because when you take a look at Jalen Reagor was Jeffrey Lurie's pick. Howie ate that pick, and he's not going to say anything, because why? He's paid millions of dollars a year to take that on the chin. Like, hey, look, I can't come out and say, why'd you pick Reagor? Look, the owner picked him. What do you want me to say? I didn't want him. He wanted him. I wanted Jefferson, or whatever it would be. He's never going to say that. It's the same thing with Frank Reich. Why does he have another head coaching job in the league? Because he can hold the water. Like, the second year, like, hey, look, I went for another year. I'll make this happen. No, you're not making it happen. He's being traded. I'm like, look, we can even fake it and say we want him and then move him. No, I don't care. I'm going out publicly right now. I don't want Wentz. I don't care what you get for him. Cut him, trade him for a fifth round pick. Just get him off the team. But there's no doubt in my mind, like, again, just reading, like, what normal football game plans would be with a quarterback everybody has said he could be electric, but he needs time. You saw him in one preseason game where he wasn't even all that effective, and you go, starter week one, love it. That doesn't make sense. Like, Shane Steichen is not saying, like, you know what? I've seen enough here. Let's let it rip. That didn't happen.
It's why I said, like, sometimes, look, the DRS let me fill in the blanks for you, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of my favorite things, but you know I push back. Look, I'm struggling to believe that happened, Donnie, but I'm not telling you you're crazy. I'm not... Because it doesn't really make any sense.
Like, yes, and I understand, like, hey, look, well, they did in Carolina. You're talking about two really, like, Bryce Young was as polished a quarterback as you're going to get playing winner. In the biggest spot. He's thrown a million passes. Like, yes, he was number one. He got drafted. Even though you got drafted number four overall, you're slightly a project. And on a team that's like, okay, let's see if we can fit you in. And again, I thought the perfect way to play this season out was put in packages for Anthony Richardson that he's comfortable with and can gain confidence. confidence and continue to build. And who knows, Kevin? By week 9, he might be the full-time starter if you eased him in. Like, hey, I've seen enough. He's mature. He's handled practice fantastic. He's ready to get after it. That's just the way I look at it overall to myself. But now, there's no going back. It's almost boom or bust. And it feels like, hey, by the way, at the end of the season, boy, Colts won 11 games with Richardson. That was amazing. I don't feel that, so we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, look, they have an offensive line that is certainly solid, right? The wide receiver, like, overall offensively, they are not dire. But the thing is, and so it's funny because I'm someone who really defended Anthony Richardson, Donnie, but he then ended up going fourth, so my defense was irrelevant, right? Like, I didn't like how people were telling me that Will Levis had all the tools, that's why he's going in the top 10. I was like, wait a minute, he doesn't have more tools. This is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard, right? But it is very much so. Like, we had to rank, Donnie, the best starting week one quarterbacks. The chances that you rank Anthony Richardson last, no slander, expectation. I feel like that's likely the outcome. You know, and this is a guy that struggled to complete 50% of his passes in college. He is a super, super mega athlete. And again, I really trust Shane Steichen. But it's interesting that they wanted to go out right away and make that move. But look, here's the thing, Donnie. He was the opening starter for them in the game against Buffalo. I mean, it's been trending this way. Every report out of Buffalo has been Anthony Richardson. So, like, I kind of still think he did win the job. But and usually I don't complain about guys getting the start week one. This feels like it's being set up for failure. And here's the Jim Irsay thing you said this morning that's going to now stick with me all year long, is Jim Irsay saying, you bench him, this is a disgrace.
Yes.
And that actually ended up happening, where they go, look, we're going to let Anthony get a little bit of time to reset himself on the bench. And he's going to end up riding pine for 3-4 weeks.
Like, don't you remember when the Colts were technically still in it? And the owner's like, yeah, Matt Ryan stinks, get him out of there. Like, oh, coach, we brought this guy and he's a vet. He probably still does, honestly, give us the best chance of winning because he can run the offense. Get him out of here. I'm going to see somebody else. Like, and also, you're talking about Sam Ehlinger, who's not going to start. 8 of 9 in that first game in preseason. Gardner Minshew, 6 of 6 for 72 yards. So it wasn't as if, like, hey, man, Minshew went 1 of 9, Ehlinger threw 3 picks.
Yeah.
We might as well just let it rip. And I don't necessarily have a problem with letting Anthony Richardson play, because it's not like, hey, man, you start Richardson, your season's down the drain. No. You start Minshew or Ehlinger, your season's already down the drain as well. It's just that if the only goal of the season is to make sure your young quarterback is on his way to being a superstar, that's the only thing I worry about. Because when you have an athlete like Anthony Richardson and the play breaks down and he knows it breaks down, he goes, why am I sitting here in the pocket looking at my third read? First read's not there, I'm gone. 11-yard first down. I'll do it repeatedly because I'm bigger, faster, and stronger than everybody. Which, again, the time to use the legs and the time to not to is the key, where you want him to be like, okay, make your reads in the pocket, and then last case scenario, take off. I'm telling you right now, he's running for over 100 yards against Jacksonville. Game number one in the dome on turf. Get after it. We'll be back. It's Moneyline in the afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Starting to get some runs here in the afternoon, but not by the Pirates, by the Mets. The Mets now have a 3-0 lead. Looks like they're finally out of the bottom of the second inning. There were runners on second and third, so the Mets with a 3-0 lead over the Pirates. I did like the total in the game, but I figured better for me was just the Pirates. Now, granted, the Pirates haven't scored, but they've had multiple guys on base, so now that you hope that this lead opens up and game gets a little bit more wide open, also runs. Yeah. Minnesota Twins 4-0 over the Detroit Tigers. Didn't really have a handicap, per se, on that game, but there's a lot of pitchers here that I'm going to be getting after today, so get ready for that. Hour number two, we'll talk a little bit more about baseball. Quick little segment here before we set you up. And also, if you guys want to get through and have some fun, Mammoth Hops comes through. Hashtag SG Moneyline. He's got two for the people today. One is over a half of runs for Ellie De La Cruz. So just a score run for him.
Okay.
Paired up with Matt Olson, which I love now, which it seems like this guy Mammoth Hops is going on repeatedly. Matt Olson walks over a half. It just makes too much sense. It's a great market to be in here. Also, every single day, Kevin, he goes Ohtani to score a run and the Braves team total over 5.5. I respect the game there. I like that every day.
And stick with what's working, right?
Exactly.
Look, part of this is me being off, so I acknowledge this. But you tell me, because you've still been obviously doing it every single day.
Yes.
Ohtani, is he still a part of the conversation like he was? Or the Angels' losses have taken a little bit of the shine off of him?
Has taken some shine off. Like, it used to be like, I'll look at his numbers. But again, I don't really base it on how you're doing like the last week or two. It's usually like a month or 60 days. But I haven't really looked at him all that much. And I'm not noticing that they're like pinball machines. What do you have? The one home run to beat Houston 2-1. And their offense has been basically dormant for like a week and a half. Like nothing. Like, oh man, Moniak and Moustakas, man, where are they coming from? Like, I was putting them in RBI props for a while. No longer at this point. That's just a bad baseball team right now, it just feels like.
Oh, terrible. I mean, absolutely dreadful, dreadful. We talked about it this morning. It's not like, oh, they've been bad since the deadline. They have the worst record in baseball, and they bought. They bought
it's
at
bad.
The deadline. It's impossible.
It is. It's really bad. It's interesting to watch it play out. Hour number two coming up. A lot more hot topics to go tomorrow. We got preseason football. Nice weekend all the way set. And we are not far away from college football either. It's a Wednesday right here on The Grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.